Welcome to the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. On this show, we feature different programs, individuals, and initiatives focused on being more inclusive of individual needs. We invite you to learn right alongside us. If you want some additional resources or access to our courses, please visit our website or follow us on social media. But for right now, let's get right to the episode. Welcome back to the Assembly Inclusion Podcast. We're joined today by Elise Kensing, the Enabling Technology Coordinator at Penmar Human Services. So Elise, thank you so much for being here with us today.
Thank you for inviting me.
So I want to get into talking about the lending library and all the great work being done at Penmar. But before we even jump into that, I wanted to get to know you a little bit more first. So can you tell us a little bit about yourself and your role as the Enabling Technology Coordinator?
I have been working with individuals with developmental disabilities, intellectual disabilities for about 27 years professionally, but personally, my whole life, I have a sister with a disability. I have worked in the realm of employment services, residential services with many providers, and now with Penmar as the Enabling Technology Coordinator. I'm responsible for ensuring that Penmar programs are equipped to take a technological approach to meeting the needs of people we support through person-centered, customized assistive technology solutions that align with people's goals and personal outcomes.
That's awesome. And I love that title, Enabling Technology Coordinator. I've never seen a title look like that before. And it's so awesome, I have to say.
A lot of people ask, what is that? What do you do? Which is perfect because I'm happy to talk about it. And I'd love to talk about it.
It's a great conversation starter for sure.
I really
love it. So can you talk a little bit about the empowering technology service that Penmar recently introduced? That was actually how I found out about you. I have a little Google alert set. Our listeners know that I love my Google alerts when it comes to assistive technology. And the article popped up about it. And I was like, oh, I want to ask about what is the initiative pretty much and how does it aim to support individuals with disabilities?
It's a newer initiative to empower technology, and it's not only for the people we provide services to, but it's also for our team members. We feel that improving the digital literacy with team members and their tech skills will also help support the people that we provide services to with technology as well. We are hoping to position ourselves as being the leading provider of enabling technology with the people we support, people with disabilities, and we're hoping to do that through the start of our assistive tech library, which is providing technology solutions in-house for people to trial in the community, at work, at home, as well as assistive technology education to bring everybody up to speed about what is assistive technology and how can it help people. And technology is changing every single day. It's all very individualized and one size does not fit all.
That's a great point. And I'm so big into assistive technology and just technology as a whole. It's something that's very close to my heart. When I was a special education teacher, I was super into the assistive tech. Now I'm in technology. I still have a love and passion for the tech. I just see how much it positively impacts people's lives. So it's great that you are really focusing on that at Penmar.
We're excited for it.
So before we really get into more of the specifics of the initiative, I wanted to talk a little bit about assistive technology as a whole for maybe our listeners who aren't quite as familiar with AT. So from your own experiences over, you know, the number of years that you've had in the field, what role does assistive technology play in promoting independence and self-determination for people?
Oh my gosh, we could go on for hours about that. But to break it down as best as possible, assistive technology helps with independence and self-determination by providing tools that enhance individuals' abilities to communicate, to navigate, perform daily skills, address barriers, support decision-making, foster inclusion. It helps people with communicating now. If somebody isn't able to verbalize something, a message could be typed out. It could be programmed into an app to say it for somebody. Mobility and environmental controls, smart home systems.
There's so many possibilities when it comes to AT. And I think the big thing too is that I think people always think of AT and they think of, you know, the really high tech, highly complicated devices and software, the very expensive software, but it really doesn't have to be always in that realm. It could be very, not even screen-based products, right? There's a wide variety.
A huge variety. And that's what I like making team members aware, is that it's not about phones and tablets and iPads and computers. It's grocery bag handles that help you bring your groceries in so you can balance out multiple groceries. It's your Alexa giving you a reminder. It could be a toothbrush holder. It could be a post-it note. Anything that's going to help you remember something, how to do something, help support you do something independently. It's everything. A lot of times we're using it, low tech, high tech, mid tech, whatever you want to call it, and we're not realizing we're using it. When I point it out, make people aware of it, the light bulb goes off. Like, oh, okay, I can figure this out now. I can really help somebody with this.
And that's really nice, because it gives them kind of like a nice gateway into it if maybe they're not as comfortable with the, you know, highly specialized technology. Some of those low tech things are a really good gateway into feeling more comfortable trying out technologies, well, assistive technology solutions, right?
Well, exactly. As I mentioned before, sometimes it's the low tech items. It's the small things that make a difference. Everything is individualized. So I could say an iPad's going to help you communicate, and maybe it's just really just some basic pictures is what you need. So that's why we feel having resources in-house for people to trial and experiment with.
And I want to get into these in-house specifics a little bit later. But before we jump into that, I know that there was a partnership too between Penmar and Shift Training to provide like an e-learning solution for how to integrate technology, or assistive technology, I should say, into the culture and person-centered mission of the organization. So can you talk a little bit about that partnership that's going on?
So Shift is a nationally recognized education and accreditation platform designed to professionalize and standardize technology-first programming and practices in the field for providers and team members who are working with individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities. So with that, it is a self-paced e-learning platform where team members are able to go through the curriculum and embrace technology solutions and understand that they can be done safe and effectively with natural supports for independence in the home, work, and community.
And I had read, I think it was in the, I can't remember if it was the initial article I read about the initiative going on right now, but I saw that you had over 100 team members who were currently enrolled within the online self-paced course working toward that enabling tech credentials. I think the article only came up fairly recently at the time of recording this, but what have you noticed so far in terms of the people who are going through this self-paced course? What kind of insights have you seen so far?
Well, definitely the knowledge and mindset to embrace technology being a powerful tool and improving lives for everyone that we support. It's given team members a greater willingness to use technology as a natural support for individuals to go ahead and be more independent, enhance the understanding of how to integrate technology at home, work, community, and that's a huge benefit. It's really cool. People ask lots of questions about it, and I hope that they continue to embrace that knowledge that they've learned and put it to practice.
It's always great to see when somebody translates something that they learned from a course or through their own research and starts to implement it in their own lives. It's even just great in general to have them in that type of environment, because I feel like just the exposure to the information is always such a big piece. I know working in technology that sometimes there's a lot of resistance to new things. Obviously, that's probably not the case in your circumstance at Penmar, but it's helpful for even people who might be just nervous, you know? I think that's great. So now I do want to talk about the in-house assistive tech library. So what prompted the decision to create it?
Well, there was a grant opportunity to provide funding for technology that enhances home and community-based services. And so we applied for the grant. In that grant, we were asking for funding to build our assistive tech library, because we felt that if we had those in-house solutions, as I mentioned before, that it would be a great asset to our team members and people we provide supports to, and also for funding to have team members go through that assistive technology education. So that's how it all came about.
And that's so great to me, because and we've had a couple of episodes on this show that focused on this too. The expensiveness of some of the more specialized AT is such like a barrier in a lot of cases. So I love that you have this in-house system where people can try it and see how it works in their daily life before making it an investment, especially a more expensive investment. That has to be really helpful for people as they're trying out AT.
Definitely. It also opens up conversation to problem solving and really looking at how we're supporting a person and what is going to work and what's not going to work for the person. And if we don't have something in-house, we utilize our state assistive technology programs in Maryland and Pennsylvania. They also have libraries where we can borrow devices and try things out too, which is pretty cool.
That's really awesome that you had that opportunity because, I mean, some of the low-tech ones are, you know, obviously a little bit more cost-efficient in terms of trying things out, but that's even great, you're right, in terms of working with someone to figure out what works. Because I feel like even when I was teaching a lot of times, I'd be like, oh, try this. And my students would be like, that is like the worst text-to-speech thing I've ever seen in my entire life. Like, why would you even offer me this? I want this, this, and this. And it's like, oh, well, now I know. Thank you. I'm glad we tried it. So I love that opportunity to collaborate.
Definitely. Constantly learning. You have to educate yourself. You have to experience something. You have to be exposed to it to figure out, does it make sense? Is it going to work?
It's a process. And I like that this kind of prompts that conversation. But what types of assistive tech tools are available currently in the lending library?
So to give you a couple examples, we have a smart pill dispenser, which is great for organizing medications, providing reminders, ensuring safety, and promoting independence with customized features on that smart pill dispenser. So if somebody is ready to move towards taking their own medication independently, this could be a tool to help them with that. We have an adaptive cutting board, which will help promote independence with meal preparation, safety, especially if somebody is having odor control challenge issues. It provides additional support with cutting and chopping. It's a cutting board that has suction cups on it, so it'll stick to the countertop, and it has a couple prongs in it to hold your food down in place so you then can go ahead and cut, chop, or slice your meal prep. We have an Alexa. We have a lot of people who come into the library and like to have conversations with Alexa. She's great for reminders, those environmental controls of turning lights on and off, opening doors, seeing who's at your doorbell, you name it. There's a lot that can be done with it, and that's a pretty cool tool. And then we also have larger letter keyboards and low vision keyboard with the high contrast colored letters, which make it easier for people to see and read or just to manipulate. So just a few examples of what we have.
It's a good variety, though, those examples you provided. There's a lot of different aspects of daily life that somebody could try out a technology tool for to support them.
I worked with our Maryland and Pennsylvania state technology programs, consulted with them on what would be the best items to have in our library, what would make the most sense. And they were extremely helpful in helping me select items.
I always appreciate that connection to the ability to collaborate with other people to figure out what kind of will work best within that type of space. So you had mentioned, I think it was in the initial article that I had read about the work being done at Penmar, that the idea, we talked about this a little bit, that introducing new technology, low tech, high tech, can be a little daunting. I know that as well from my own experience working with tech and people. It's a little challenging sometimes to see how quickly things move and change. But what are some common concerns or hesitations that people might have when it comes to adopting an assistive tech solution?
I think just in general, it's the learning curve. It's understanding and realizing that anybody can use these tools and devices. It doesn't matter what your ability is at all.
That's a big one. It's a big one to overcome that. It is intimidating. And I love technology, but I'm always getting the updates on what new AT is coming out. And there's always so many new things. And it's overwhelming to stay ahead of everything that's coming out and what's available. So it's understandable. That might be some hesitation.
And also helping people get over their fear of technology. I think that is sometimes what keeps people away from trying it, exploring it. They're not comfortable with it themselves. That's why we want to make sure we're supporting team members with what's available and how it works and how they can help themselves with it as well.
makes it a lot less intimidating to have that access and that training and that support, I'm sure. Just kind of leads into it actually really well. So how are team members encouraged to experiment with and explore the assistive tech solutions that are available in the library? Do they just kind of get to go in and play around with them? Do they have more specific training on them? Or how does that usually go?
Well, right now, I encourage anybody and everybody to come to the library. We're open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Tuesdays in the afternoon, Thursdays in the morning. However, if there is a time that they would like to stop by and we're not at our open hours, they just need to contact me. We also have demo videos that we've been showing. It's in our social media platform where we try to get people to see what it's all about. We put together a really cool cooking demo that kind of shows the whole, like, getting your groceries to the end result of cooking and eating everything.
I think I did see that video. It's on your YouTube channel, right?
Yes.
The cooking one? Yes.
That was a really fun video to make. And we have another batch of videos coming out. We feel it's important for people to see how devices are being used. I feel that when people have a visual of what it is and what it looks like, how it works, it sparks that conversation of like, wait a minute, that might work for another person I'm supporting, or can we try that? Or how about this? And it's cool.
It is a great way to show, because you could look at just the picture of something online and not really have a full understanding of its potential. But those videos, especially that one I watched, it was a really neat way to be able to say, oh, like, I could totally see how somebody could use it for this. Or I could see somebody, even I was thinking of like past students I had that I was like, oh, this would have been perfect for what they were doing with this. And that, I think the visual, you're right, the visual is very helpful.
It's relatable. It helps people connect the dots. And I think that's important. So
definitely. It helps it with a little more transparency too about what something is and how it works. So we talked a little bit about the beginning. You had mentioned the idea of being person-centered. So how do you ensure that the lending library continues to remain person-centered and continues to adapt to people's unique needs and preferences? Because like you mentioned, everybody is different and there's not a one-size-fits-all. So how do you ensure that it kind of stays that way?
That's a great question. I think definitely as we see how people are using the different devices, different suggestions, ideas, looking at adding to the library when we receive information from team members or people we're supporting. Also, I have a lot of different connections, a lot of different groups that I've been working with that are AET-based, a lot of different provider-run groups where we get together and talk about what works and what's not working and how people are utilizing devices. And so that's very helpful in keeping our library current, making sure we have something available or knowledge about it, so we can make sure that we're staying person-centered. So everybody has an option for using anything and everything that's going to work for them.
That's a great way to stay connected, because I know we had talked about this. Things change and get updated so fast, so it's great that you still have, you know, that connection to be able to contact your team members and people in the community and, you know, the larger AT community as a whole to see what's current, what needs are. So I know this is probably a very broad question, but what have been some of the biggest successes that you've seen from the lending library so far?
Ooh, the biggest success is seeing somebody walk into the library and have that aha moment. I know that I've connected with somebody at that point. I know that they get it. I know that they see the wheels are turning. How can I use this? What can I do with it? That's my biggest success with the library, is just people starting that conversation. And then for somebody to understand that everybody is considered a candidate for some type of tech in their life, no matter what their ability is, that's important.
I think that's a really good success. And I'm sure it happens quite frequently as people come in and get their hands on different high-tech, low-tech devices to find something that works for them. So I'm sure that's a great experience for everybody involved.
It is, and it's great to see the conversation continue as they leave the library and talk with other coworkers and share their experiences.
I could see that being then a larger spread of information as people continue those conversations that they're after experiencing the different AT tools. My last one for you is, I always like to look ahead. So what are some of the goals or aspirations that you have for the lending library or just your work with assistive tech support at Penmar in general?
I would have to say that people just have those conversations, that the conversation about integrating technology, utilizing it in some way, shape, or form is the norm. It's not like, oh, I got to check a box and make sure I ask about it, but that it becomes just a natural part of how we provide supports, that option, how that can make somebody's life different, how we can help somebody live their best life.
That's exactly how I feel about technology. So like, you're speaking to my heart right now.
And I just feel that it's a person's right. And perhaps in this field, people may not think of it as being like a basic human right, but it really is. We all use it. And at this point, as we move forward in the world, it's constantly changing every single day. There's always something new. So we got to make sure our team members and the people we provide services to have those opportunities and are not left behind with that.
Oh, definitely. We really could have a whole episode just on the conversation about how different AT can improve people's lives. And I'm sure we could go back and forth and trade stories on what we've seen. But you're right, it could totally change someone's life. And every day, more things are popping up that have the potential to impact even more people. So those conversations are so necessary and so important, and something that everybody should be kind of discussing as we plan for supporting other people or figuring out solutions for people.
Well, I also like to share with team members that it enhances your job. It enhances the lives of the people we support. And that's a really cool thing.
Well, Elise, I want to thank you so much for being here with us today and telling us all about the amazing work being done at Penn Mar with assistive technology and just supporting the individual's disabilities and your team members. Thank you so much for sharing with us today.
Yes, thank you for having me. It was a joy to speak with you and share this information with everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Assembling Inclusion Podcast. I hope the information in this episode taught you something new, gave you a new idea, or showcased a new perspective. If you liked the episode, feel free to leave us a review or comment. If you have a recommendation for an individual or an organization who would make a great guest, you can message us or send us an email at assemblinginclusion@gmail.com. See you next time.